Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Patrick Gilroy is talking Pats, Sox, B's, and C's right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
It is Sports Radio WEEI. Patrick Gilroy with you guys, as we'll make our way together up until 4 o'clock this afternoon. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And you know what? I'm going to take this call here real quick, and then we'll do something else. I know we've got 2 hours of this talk, and it's exhausting, right? This whole thing, there's so much to learn for all of us, and there's so much educational sort of advancement that needs to take place in this country before we can have a more intelligent conversation without offending, you know, a huge portion of the population. I see the text line out there. I see the people that hate this conversation. And the fact is this, it's not your fault. You know, you're a product of the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even 90s when marijuana was something that you bought on the street from your local dealer. And that's not what we're talking about right here. It's come a long way, but it still has a long way to go. So let's go out to Marilyn in New Hampshire. Marilyn, you're next up here on WEI.
Yes, hi.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hello there.
What's on your mind, dear?
Yes, I understand you're all pro-CBD oil, but I figured, well, maybe somebody out there understands. There are natural products. And my experience is, like, when I was 35, I pulled a muscle in my back. And I had to take exactly what you're talking about, the opioids.
Yep.
But the problem with opioids is when you go to sleep, it blocks out all your nerve endings. You can't tell. You could move in a funny way and make your injury worse.
Sure.
Because you can't feel anything.
I mean, it masks your injury big time.
Yeah. So then the next time I broke my leg, I was about 59. I broke my leg, and a sports doctor repaired it, put a, you know, titanium rod in, and, you know, been wonderful. But when after the operation, I had two prescriptions. One was for some super Tylenol, and the other one was for an opioid thing. Well, I learned that the previous medication was opioids. So I said to myself, I better find out what's in this. And it was opioids. And I said, oh, no, I'm not doing that again. So I just went with the Tylenol.
Yep.
And recently, I am, when I was 69, I'm now 73. When I was 69, I fell. I'm in New Hampshire, and I was shoveling my roof. I fell.
Hold on, you were shoveling your roof. I mean, I live in New Hampshire as well. We get some serious snow up there.
Yes.
You were on.
Yes.
On. God bless you. Good
right.
for you.
Right. There
good
was a three footer.
Yep.
One of those.
Good for you.
And I'm up there shoveling, and I didn't have the angle right for the ladder. I fell 20 feet onto my deck, flat on my back. And I said to myself, "Well, if I can stand up, I know I didn't break anything."
Yep.
And the pain was identical to when I got off the medication from the broken leg.
Yep.
So I was familiar with the pain. I said, oh, boy, it's the same level of pain. This is serious.
Yep.
Well, I made it back into the house, and I lay down, and I took white willow bark.
Okay.
To get that at a vitamin shop, and guess what? It was better than the opioids.
I believe it.
It was, and it worked. I didn't go to the hospital. I didn't go to a doctor. and I recovered with that.
Good for you, Marilyn. And listen, this year when we get our snow, we had an easy year last year, mm-hmm. so you know this year is going to be bad. You got to find somebody else to go on the roof
well,
for you, Marilyn.
Well, I'm doing it from the bottom up this time.
All right.
God, you know, I just got a roof raker.
God bless you, Marilyn. I love that. 73 years old, only in New England. We're a tougher breed of people here at 73 years old. Get your grandson, get your granddaughter, hire somebody, pay somebody $40 to go up on the roof. But she recommends White Willow. We could go down this road. I'm not going to. When my dad was diagnosed with his cancer, and we knew that it was going to be bad, and we knew that the traditional treatments weren't going to work. He was still doing the radiation and chemo, but we knew that at best it was going to extend his life for a very short period of time. I bought a book about natural remedies, and White Willow was in there. There's 1,000 of these natural remedies, and we tried them. They didn't work, but they work for some people. But the point here, and I think the point that Marilyn may have missed, is that marijuana is one of the natural remedies. It is one of the gifts from God, so to speak, from the ground. It's something that once upon a time, it only did one thing for you. It got you high. It got you stoned. But because there's been so many advances in science, we're able now to extract certain things from the marijuana and really target it to a specific type of pain relief, a specific type of psychological relief. I mean, there's so many different ways to use it, to utilize it, and to create different strains, different variations that all have different medicinal values. And each and every one of those is a better option, a better alternative than Oxy, than Perks, than Vicodin, than all the traditional treatments that we've seen throughout sports in the last 30 years. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI. Look, when we come back, we can continue some of this conversation. If you have leftover thoughts, you want to get your calls in, by all means, continue that. I do want to work in some Celtic stuff here as well, as they're a couple of weeks away from opening up training camp. And as we get closer and closer to the Celtics opening up training camp, trying to put the memories of last season to bed. Last season was a horrific year for the Celtics. Ratings were down. Their likability was down. They did not live up to expectations. I've been anxiously anticipating the beginning of this new season, if only to put the bad taste of last year out of my mouth. One of my biggest fears, though, is a fear that we could replicate last season, and it may be something that is much more likely to happen than people would like to admit to. So we'll talk about that. We'll be joined by Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. All of that and your phone calls when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEEI.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. It's more of Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm not buying the Celtics. I think they're good, and Kyrie, if you want to use him as a scapegoat, and when they don't win, and they don't get there, I want to hear all the people who say, "Oh, good, we're glad that he's gone," because I don't believe that they're better with Kemba Walker than they. I don't believe they'll be better.
Rob Parker, not a chemistry guy. All right, folks.
I mean, I think it's safe to say Rob Parker's not a Boston guy in general. Rob Parker, any opportunity he takes to he has to essentially put down a Boston team, he's going to do it. That's on brand for Rob Parker. That was sound from Rob Parker right there on Undisputed from FS1. And Rob, shockingly, though, he's not alone in his way of thinking. And this is my biggest fear as we inch closer to the Celtics season here. And it's a very important season, not because it's one where I feel like the Celtics are going to compete for a championship, but it's one where I feel like the Celtics have to do something positive to regain the faith and trust and the interest of the fans here in Boston. And that's why, you know, this is like one of my favorite times of the year, because here we are usually as you enter the final home stretch of the Major League Baseball season. The Red Sox are usually a little bit better off than they are right now. Right now, they're 5 games out of a wild card. Are they in it? Sure. Is it something that's captured the hearts and imaginations of Bostonians? No, it hasn't. It's been a struggle for the Red Sox all season long. So, again, you know, they're not a team that I think is really on the radar the way that they usually are this time of the year. And, of course, the Patriots, they make things kick off for real here next weekend. And that's awesome. because now, you know, fall is going to be in the air. But that means for me, when the Patriots are on the horizon, the Red Sox are in their final home stretch of the season, that means that the Celtics, the Bruins, the winter sports are just around the corner here. And with about 3 weeks to go, 2.5 weeks until the Celtics open up training camp, we're 1 month away from the Celtics starting their exhibition schedule. It's time to take a quick look here at the summer of the Celtics and the expectations that people have on the Boston Celtics for this year. Because so many of you guys that I talk to here on Late Night and I talk to in general on EEI, so many of the casual fans, and by the way, the casual fans, that is not a knock from me. The Celtics, the Bruins, I am acutely aware of how and when they capture your attention, they capture your imaginations. When they're great, Celtics fans are awesome. They come out in droves. They pack the Garden. It's electric in there, and the ratings on NBC Sports Boston prove that out. But when they struggle, and it's kind of funny to me that we look at the Celtics and we say, okay, that team won 49 games. That team went to the second round of the playoffs, but that's a struggling team. That's a team that, you know, really didn't live up to expectations. But that's what it was last year for the Celtics. That's what it was last year because the expectations were set so high. That was a team that was supposed to win 60 games. It was a team that was predicted to represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. And it was a monumental failure that they didn't. And you can sit there, we can blame Kyrie, and we can blame the coach, and you can blame Danny Ainge, and you can play the blame game all you want, but I'm sort of over playing the blame game. It's in the past, it's last year. My concern is next year. And I say that because I feel like there's one potential flaw that the Celtics haven't dealt with yet. Yes, they've dealt with the chemistry flaw. By swapping out Kyrie Irving for Kemba Walker, your chemistry just got exponentially better. There's no doubt about that. Kemba is a better teammate. Matter of fact, I think he's just as good of a player. I am so sick of hearing my fellow hosts here on EEI and on other stations and all these experts. They always compliment Kemba, but there's always the caveat that they must say. It's like they have to include it, where they say, I think Kyrie's a slightly better player, but Kemba's a better fit. That is a tired take. That is a lazy take. And it's really a take not taking a position. I think Kemba Walker is a better player for the Boston Celtics than Kyrie Irving. That's not a shocking statement to make. However, that is not going to fix everything that ailed the Celtics last year. So if you're a Celtics fan like me, looking forward to next season, looking forward to a couple of weeks from now when it's media day, then training camp, then eventually just a week after training camp opens, they're playing preseason games. I mean, the Celtics season starts next month. They're in training camp this month. I'm afraid that there is a pretty good possibility, when you want to put a percentage on it, that you could repeat the flaws of last year, even without Kyrie Irving on the roster. Because chemistry flaws are something that happen when people aren't happy. Chemistry flaws are something that bubble up when your players feel that sort of discontent and a disconnect from each other, from their coaching staff. And those are the things that plagued the Celtics last year. And by the way, those are the things that not only plagued the team on the court, they're the things that plagued the team off the court. Last year's team, if you listen to the players, they didn't really like each other. They didn't really hang out with each other the way they typically do on not game days. They didn't have the ear of their coach. There was a hint of disrespect for their coach at times last year, especially led by Kyrie Irving, openly second-guessing and calling out his coach multiple times last year. That does a lot of damage, but it also turns off fans. And when you've got chemistry issues that turn off fans, that's something that's palpable. You can feel it. You can hear it. It's something that comes through on the TV. So when the Celtics became more and more unlikable, you guys turned off your TVs. You guys stopped watching the Boston Celtics, and their ratings took a 24% dip year over year. That 24% represents the casual fans, and the Celtics, they must be concerned as a business on how to get those fans back, how to get that likability factor back up to where it once was. You can win fewer games and still be more likable. But I'm afraid that there's a really strong possibility that next year's team is going to repeat some of the sins, some of the flaws that last year's team had. And I'll tell you why. I mean, when you look at what they did, you lose a veteran presence in Al Horford. There's no replacing Al Horford. When you look at the production and you look at the numbers that Enes Kanter brings to the table, you would say to yourself, okay, well, his numbers are actually better than Al's. All right, Kanter's going to put up about 13, 14 points, get you about 10 rebounds. He's one of the better rebounders in the NBA. Problem is, Kanter doesn't play any defense. So for Kanter to bring value to the floor, for Kanter to earn his paycheck, for Kanter to make a positive net impact on the Boston Celtics, he's got to get touches. He's got to be given the opportunity to score the basketball. So how are you fixing your chemistry issues and your balance issues that plagued the Celtics last year by taking out a guy, in replacing a guy in Kyrie Irving with Kemba Walker. Kemba has a higher usage rate than Kyrie Irving, meaning he takes more shots, the ball is in his hands more often, he is much more ball dominant, and Kyrie was a ball dominant guy. But when you look at Kemba Walker, his ball dominance is up there with guys like James Harden and Russell Westbrook. So, you know, if you're looking for a guy that's going to come in and be, you know, Rondo 2.0 and be interested in sharing the basketball and creating for others, that is not what you're getting in Kemba Walker. He may be a more willing passer, more willing teammate. He may be. But the evidence that we've got throughout his 8 years in the NBA does not suggest that just yet. He's going to have to change the style and manner in which he plays for this team to be at their peak effectiveness. But you got Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and Enes Kanter. All talented players. Every one of those players needs their shots. Every one of those players needs their touches. Every one of those players needs to care about number one for individual reasons. And that's what scares me about this basketball team. Kemba Walker's got a lot to prove. He got a big contract. You know, the Michael Jordan and Charlotte weren't willing to give him that supermax. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder. Kemba Walker's going to want to put up his numbers. And he's not going to want to adjust and change his game all that much. Adjusting and changing his game means a learning process, a learning curve, and I'm not sure that's something he wants to do. After all, these guys do have huge egos, and his career, the way that he's played the game, it's got him good enough to be an all-NBA player, a multiple-time all-star, a guy that just got a huge contract with the Celtics. So in Kemba's mind, why would I change what I do? What I do works. Then you got guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who are acutely aware that they took a step back last year. So they're going to have something to prove this year. Both are going to want to have multiple opportunities to score the basketball. They're going to want to be focused in the Celtics offense, primary focus points of the Celtics offense. And they should be, by the way. They should be because they're the young stars that we think have the potential to carry this basketball team. Gordon Hayward, he's got a lot to prove. He's got 2 years left on his max contract, and he was a huge, huge disappointment last year. So he's going to want to have an opportunity to come back this year and prove that at 29 years old, he can still be the Gordon Hayward the Celtics thought that they were getting. And Enes Kanter, he's a guy that, quite frankly, if he's not scoring the basketball, he's not bringing value to the table. So the chemistry issues that the Celtics had last year, where there weren't enough balls to go around, weren't enough shots to go around, and people were unsure about their roles on this basketball team, there is a very real scenario in play here where all of these guys wind up unhappy, where all of these guys aren't given the opportunity to do what they need to do to thrive on the basketball court. There's a real situation in play here where we're sitting here in November, December, January talking about the Celtics having a repeat of the sins of the previous season. So the question really becomes here is, are any of these guys willing to go to the bench, or do the Celtics need to make a move? Because here's the thing, as much as we celebrate Brad Stevens, and as well as he is coached here in his first 6 years as the coach of the Boston Celtics, 6 years is a tremendous amount of time to be a head coach in the NBA. We're talking about he's one of the longest tenured head coaches in the league right now, and it feels like he just got here. I feel like Brad is on the hot seat. I feel like Brad has got to be on the hot seat because I don't see how Danny Ainge can make any more changes to improve the chemistry of his basketball team. One of the fatal flaws of this team last year was Brad's inability to communicate with his players. One of the fatal flaws of this basketball team last year was Brad's inability to define roles for his players. So how does that change this year? You've eliminated a great locker room presence. You've eliminated a guy in Al Horford who is a respected veteran, who's one of those voices in the locker room that commands and demands attention and respect from his teammates. He's gone. Bye-bye. See you later. You've replaced him with a guy that only brings value to the table when he's offensively involved. When he's not offensively involved, what does he do out there? He hurts you defensively, and he's a good rebounder. So what? So what? So if you think that you're going to replicate the production and replicate the style of play by removing Al Horford from the equation and putting Enes Kanter in that position, it's not going to happen. So how does Brad Stevens, a guy that was challenged last year to be a better head coach and he failed, how does he come into this season with each and every one of these guys that I just mentioned having selfish reasons for needing touches? How does he manage that when he couldn't manage last year? I mean, that's really the question here for Celtics fans today at 617-779-7937. And we'll be joined by Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports coming up in a little while here on the program. I want to get his take, too, on this because I think that Brad Stevens has got to be on the hot seat. I mean, at what point this year do we start the conversation about Brad potentially losing his job? Because I don't think Celtics fans are going to stand for this team to come out of the gate struggling. Let's say this team repeats what they did last year, and they're 5-5 in their first 10 games. Do we start to get the itch then? Do we start to get antsy then? Is there a scenario in play where Brad doesn't make it through the year next year? Because as much as Danny Ainge and Wick Grosbeck will tell you that they believe in Brad for the long term, I believe Wick said it a couple of weeks ago during the whole Jimmy Fund thing. He was on the air with the station, and he said that there's no head coach that the Celtics would rather have than Brad Stevens. That's all well and good. Okay, that's a nice little story to tell. That's a nice little thing to sell to your fans. And Brad's a likable guy, and he's been a very good head coach for the most part throughout his NBA career. But if Brad's not able to maximize the potential of this edition of the Celtics, there have to be wholesale changes that are made. And that wholesale change has to begin with the elimination of Brad Stevens and replace him with a guy that can better communicate. You've already found a way to move on from Kyrie Irving, which was something that was supposed to cripple this team. And it didn't, because nobody saw the ability to get Kemba Walker. When we knew that Kyrie wasn't coming back, the stories, the talk here on the station, Ordway, I mean, everybody was saying that the Celtics need to tear it down at this point because Kyrie's not coming back. That's why Al Horford ultimately was willing to entertain offers from other teams. That's why other teams were in on Horford. When we didn't think that that was going to be the case, at the end of the season, Horford thought he was coming back. But once Kyrie Irving made it official that he wasn't going to re-sign here, that he was out of here, because of the Celtics salary cap situation, they really didn't have the ability at that time to replace him. They just didn't. It wasn't a possibility. Now they got creative. They did some things that nobody really thought that they were going to do, and they were able to free up enough money to bring in another premier player. So you have to applaud them for doing that and for staying relevant. And while there's a scenario in play where the Celtics are a very good basketball team, an overachieving basketball team, I think if you're doing sort of the pie here, I think that there is a much more real possibility and a stronger possibility that the Celtics struggle once again. Because the chemistry issues that plagued this team last year, they're right there again this year. You haven't done anything to make this team more even. You haven't done anything to spread out the talent on this team. You still have a team full of wing players that need shots. You still have a team full of primary scoring options, or at least guys that think they are primary scoring options. So, I mean, you guys tell me, if you're a Celtics fan, are you eagerly anticipating this season, or is there some trepidation there? Because for me, there's a small amount of trepidation. I mean, I'm eager for the season to get underway because I desperately want to get the taste of last year out of my mouth. But as I start to examine this team and start to really look at what I think the potential for this team is, well, I think that there's a strong scenario in play where they win 53, 54, 55 games and they go further in the playoffs this year than they did last year. While that is certainly a possibility, I think that there's a much larger possibility that this team finds themselves dealing with a lot of the same chemistry issues that they dealt with last year. I think that there's a stronger possibility in play. Well, we're sitting here on WEI fielding phone calls from angry Celtics fans demanding that Brad Stevens gets fired. Because if they repeat the same problems they had last year, then the common denominator shifts. It's no longer Kyrie Irving as the bad guy. It's got to be the head coach. Because if you replicate the problems of last year and Kyrie's gone, who is left to blame? Are you going to blame Kemba Walker at that point? Are you going to blame Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown at that point? Or are you going to look to the head coach? The common denominator between two world-class point guards, two primary option-type point guards, two all-star-level point guards, where you have the same problem with two different guys. That, to me, is a real possibility, and that, to me, is what gives me a little bit of trepidation going into next season and why I'm not so full bore, I'm not so bullish on this edition of the Celtics. I like the fact that the potential is there for them to be very, very good. I like the fact that the potential is there for them to exceed expectations. But what I don't like is the fact that they have done nothing. Danny Ainge has done nothing for this team to, I don't know, change the strengths of this team, to make it a more well-balanced team, for this team to sort of spread out their offense a little bit and do themselves a service by getting some defensive-minded players, getting some guys in here that bring other skills to the table. Because as of right now, Kemba Walker, score. Jason Tatum, score. Jaylen Brown, score. Gordon Hayward, score. And as Cantor, the only thing that he can do is score and rebound. You got five guys right there, five of your best players on this team. And all five guys think that they're primary type options in the NBA. That's a quick recipe for failure in the National Basketball Association. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls talking about Brad Stevens, the Boston Celtics. Are people starting to get excited for the Boston Celtics upcoming season? Or are you guys like me where there's some fear in the room here that this team is going to repeat the sins of last year? This team is going to find themselves potentially in a position very early on this season where chemistry issues start to creep their way back into the Boston Celtics locker room. And if they do, if those chemistry issues rear their ugly head once again, is it time for Brad Stevens to potentially be done as head coach of the Boston Celtics? We'll do that. We'll work in some Patriots thoughts as well and take your phone calls when we come back at 617-779-7937.
Let's get you back to more with Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio WEEI.
I think the thing that stands out when you go over and watch the Patriots do workouts, sit in meetings, sit in film, is they are on one page. They are in one direction. And his message, although has, you know, thousands of complexities within the each scheme defensively and offensively, his message is concise. And it's ultimately not only well-delivered, but well-received. And you can tell that thing is a juggernaut. That thing is a train moving in one direction, and they know what they need to do to be successful. And I don't think it's brain surgery. The way that I've seen it from up close and afar is they don't beat themselves. And there are a lot of things in a football game that ultimately lead to that, and they're the best at them.
Celtics head coach Brad Stevens right there talking about the Patriots, Bill Belichick, and the success that he's had over the course of the last two decades. And I do like the fact that the coaches here in New England, the coaches in Boston specifically, do sort of work together. They do. There's this unity between them. And we've all seen footage over the years of Brad Stevens at Patriots training camp trying to absorb and take as much as he can from what's worked from Bill Belichick. Now, there's monumental differences in the way that these guys are are able to coach these players. I mean, the fact that the NBA players have guaranteed contracts versus not guaranteed contracts in the NFL makes a world of difference when it comes to your approach if you're a head coach. Because the players really do have so much more control in the NBA. We see it each and every offseason when the players are forcing their way out of their situations despite the fact that there's multiple years left on the table of their contracts, right? So that's something that you really can't do in the NFL. That's something that is really exclusive to the NBA. And it's because the players have that leverage because the contracts are so big and the contracts are so guaranteed. That's all part of the challenge of coaching in the NBA. And it's all part of Brad's challenge this year, because the microscope is going to be on Brad big time. The microscope is going to be there. The judgment is going to be there from the fans, from the media. The grace period that Brad Stevens earned here in his first 5 years as head coach of the Celtics, I feel like that grace period is over. That grace period is gone. And if the Celtics get off to a rough start again for the second consecutive season, and it looks like some of their issues from last year are bubbling up once again, unfortunately, it looks like Brad Stevens could potentially be on the hot seat. So it is Sports Radio WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys today at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And the other person here that is a key figure for the Celtics and their potential success this season is Gordon Hayward, right? So you got Brad Stevens, who is going to have a microscope on him, but there's going to be an equally large microscope and just as much of a focus on Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward, when he got here to the Celtics, signed the fourth richest contract in NBA history at the time on a per year basis, a 4-year max deal with the Celtics. That means he's got 2 years left on his deal. The first year, monumental failure, gets hurt in game number one. He provides nothing for the Celtics that year. And last year at this time, I mean, as a Celtics guy, and I know you guys as Celtics people too, were right there along with me, there was a lot of optimism surrounding Gordon Hayward coming back from his injury and rejoining the Celtics. And he did. Ultimately, Gordon Hayward was there for game one. And that led to not only on-the-court problems, but off-the-court problems as well. Because Gordon Hayward was forced into that starting lineup, it was guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum that didn't get as many shots, that didn't get as many opportunities. Their chemistry that they could have potentially had was ruined before the season even started. And that led to infighting. That led to critical failure because this team no longer respected their head coach the way that they should have. Their head coach, who's got a previously existing relationship with Gordon Hayward, and everybody knows it, it was felt amongst the Celtics players that there was some favoritism happening there, and that maybe Gordon Hayward didn't deserve to be reinserted into that starting lineup right away. And again, this is where Brad's challenge really, really is just a monumental challenge, and it takes a very special head coach to do this as delicately as you got to do it to make it successful. On one hand, Gordon Hayward has got a huge max contract. The only way to get him back, get him healthy, and have any chance at him returning to the player that he once was, by what? You got to get him on the court. You can't replicate an NBA game in practice. As hard as you try, it's impossible to do. You can't replicate the back-to-back situations in practice. You can't replicate the impact that travel across the country has on a healing body in practice. So the only way to get Gordon Hayward back to Utah Gordon Hayward is to play him. Unfortunately, when you're the Celtics and you've got huge expectations on your shoulder, where ESPN and all the national publications are picking you to be the best team in the East and to challenge the Golden State Warriors, you don't have the luxury of time. You know, if the Celtics were a team that had no expectations and were a borderline playoff team last year, then it's easy to put Gordon Hayward into that starting lineup and say, work your way back at your leisure. And when you're good again, you're good again, and we'll reap the benefits then. The Celtics don't have that luxury, nor do they have that luxury this year, because instead of us scouring the internet like we did last year, looking for footage, looking for videos, looking for any evidence that Gordon Hayward was going to return to being the guy that we thought he was, that's what we were doing a year ago. This year is very different. This year we've heard all the stories about Hayward looking good at practice, being in Boston most of the offseason, training very hard with the Celtics coaching staff, really doing a damn good job of staying here and trying to improve upon what he was unable to do last year. But the fact is this, it's an unknown. It's a huge unknown. If Gordon Hayward's able to return to being the guy that he was in Utah, everything changes for the Celtics. But most importantly, what changes is the second guessing that plagued the Celtics last year. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and other players second guessing their head coach based on Gordon Hayward's playing time.
You know, I tried to do the best I could with the cards that was dealt.
That goes away. That absolutely goes away if Gordon Hayward's able to return to form. And I wonder if that's even physically possible at this stage in the game for Gordon Hayward to return to the guy the Celtics thought they were getting 2 years ago when he was introduced as a member of the Boston Celtics. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's grab a couple of calls here. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan's in Wareham. Ryan, you're next up here on WEEI.
I can definitely say I definitely share the concern coming into the season with the Celtics. One reason is because, as you just said, you know, Gordon Hayward he wasn't a part of that team that wasn't with Kyrie when they went all the way, you know, to the finals. And another reason is right now it's a battle of egos. So I feel like getting rid of Kyrie doesn't necessarily eliminate that problem.
No, it doesn't. Like you've replaced him with a guy with a better attitude, but a very similar skill set.
Right, and when you have a group of young players and you know, God love them for making it as far as they did without Kyrie. You know, you have Jaylen Brown talking about, you know, 5 years in a row, he's going to get five rings in a row. And it's just not that easy. And I'm concerned whether or not he really, truly believes after the debacle of last year that he can actually still accomplish that, because that doesn't happen every day.
Well, the other option, and the Celtics clearly, unless something changes here in the next 2 weeks before training camp opens, the other option, Ryan, was for the Celtics to look to potentially trade away a Jaylen Brown, a Jason Tatum, or a Gordon Hayward. Right there, those three guys. You've got three wing players. All three think that they're 20-point-a-game night guys. All three are going to demand somewhere between 12 and 15 shots a night at a minimum. And all three believe that they're a number one option. So, these chemistry issues where guys did not have clearly defined roles last year, and that was a huge problem that came back to haunt the Celtics, that problem to me still exists. I don't see a way in which Kemba Walker gets his shots, and those three wing players get their shots, and they do it in a way where everybody's happy and the chemistry is good.
But what I do see is where Gordon, where Hayward was so tentative last year. I mean, let's be honest, he was tentative getting to the rack last year. There were certain flashes he had, especially after the All-Star break, where he was getting to the rack and he showed signs of his old self. I truly believe that he can get used to a role where he's distributing the ball a little bit more. Jaylen Brown, I'm a little more concerned about, especially when you have somebody like Marcus Smart who likes to put up the shots that he does coming off the bench. But that's another thing I'm concerned about too. It's not just the starting lineup that's concerned about their shots. You have players that it kind of creeps its way into the bench as well.
It does. And look, there's a scenario in play, Ryan, where the Celtics are very good, they exceed expectations, and everybody's back on board. But there's an equally likely scenario in play where the Celtics disappoint once again, where the same issues that plagued them last year come back and haunt them again this year. And from a Celtics fan's perspective, I don't want to see that. I can't fathom a second consecutive season where this team is unlikable, virtually unwatchable. I mean, I'm a Celtics guy through and through. It didn't make a difference to me growing up in the late 80s, early 90s, when this team really took a nosedive all the way through the Patino era. It didn't make a difference that we went through 20 years of being a terrible basketball team. I love the team year in and year out, equally optimistic year in and year out. It didn't make a difference if it was Sherman Douglas and Kevin Gamble or Purvis Ellison on the basketball court. They wore a Celtics uniform. I rooted for them. Last year was the first time that I can remember where towards the end of the season, I had a hard time watching them. I no longer looked forward to watching Celtics games. It became part of my job as opposed to something that I really enjoyed and looked forward to. I don't want that to happen again this year. I really don't. Even if the team only wins 45 games, but the chemistry's there, they're likable, and they're building towards something, I would rather watch that. I can more easily accept that than watch a team that wins 50 games, but they do it with all that infighting. You're not working towards a common goal. There is no improvement, and it seems like that this team just hates each other. That was impossible to watch last year, and I'm hoping that with the exit of Kyrie Irving and the introduction of Kemba Walker, I'm hoping that the chemistry sort of takes care of itself. But again, unless somebody's willing to go to the bench, unless somebody's willing to take a reduced role, or unless there's a trade on the horizon, the ability to make everybody happy here is going to present Brad Stevens with the most difficult coaching job that he's had yet. Because last year was difficult, expectations were high, and he failed. This year, it's going to be difficult, expectations are going to be high, and the microscope is going to be on him from day one. We'll see how Brad handles that coming up in a couple of weeks when the Celtics open up training camp, and we're about a month away from Celtics basketball right here in Boston. It went by very quickly. And I hope that the optimism that I felt earlier in this offseason, I hope the Celtics feel it as well. But the basketball guy in me tells me that there's a real scenario in play where Kemba, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and yeah, Enes Kanter, whose only value is rebounding and scoring, these guys are all going to want their touches. And I don't know how the hell you keep them all happy and do it in a way where this team doesn't have the same chemistry issues that plagued them last year. It is Sports Radio WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. When we come back, we'll continue to dive into the Celtics as we're just a couple of weeks away from training camp opening up, but a month away from the Celtics opening up their exhibition schedule as we've been watching four Celtics star on Team USA this summer. All that and your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.